out of bed, half dead. Goose egg and bacon spread. Chocolate Duval haze, you're so far away. Shifty Poet's Loft, Eindhoven to Geldrop. Lost between the sheets, these lines fell over me. Less is more. Sorry, babe, I'm rolling in the hay. Van Zandt and Gaucher, between the daylight and the dark. To live is to fly. Christmas in paradise, waiting round to die. For the sake of the song, ain't got no home. If I needed you, falls from true.
That's Yukon-based singer-songwriter Gordy Tentrees with the title track from his new album, Less Is More. It's a stellar collection of folk roots and blues, featuring songs of true Canadiana alongside others that tackle current events and issues head-on, and often in a deep and personal way. We caught up with Gordy on the road in Alberta. How are you doing today, Gordy?
I'm doing fine. And yourself?
Not too bad at all. Great to be able to talk to you. I think it's, 3 years probably since I had a chat with you. That was at the Eaglewood Folk Festival.
And yeah.
I think that was around the time of North Country Hard. Is that right?
That's correct. Yep.
Yeah. So Less Is More is the follow-up to that album. My sense, because you're on the road such a lot of the time, is that it is an album that probably you spend a lot of time working on the road. Is that right?
Well, it's a bit, you know, actually I spent probably more time working on those songs at home in between tours. I tend to sort of write lyrics and snippets and ideas and phrases and poems when I'm on the road, and then turn them into songs when I get home. And sometimes that doesn't, you know, they happen on the road, and I know to stop and take advantage of that when it does. But mainly I feel like working on the road, and it's really nice to get home and have some time to sort of, work on these ideas and turn them into songs.
It's interesting you say that, because usually pretty much everybody I talk to talks about the fact that they like to work on a melody first and then start to think about the lyrics they want to put to those tunes. But I think from your point of view, do you see yourself being very much somebody who is a poet as well as a songwriter? I mean, am I stretching things too much to suggest that?
Well, I do write a lot of poems, and I sometimes very short ones, and I write a lot of them into my phone when I'm traveling. And I've spent lots of time looking at them and editing them and just writing lyrics. And I do a little songwriting retreat in El Salvador every November. I've done two now. I also play concerts down there as well, but I've been going there for about two or three weeks at a time and spending hours and hours a day writing all these ideas, turning all these ideas into songs. Last November, I started doing that for this album. I found that being away from you know, things that can distract you in your house and your home and your community, and being where you don't have the internet or anyone that knows you, you can just really spend your whole time getting inside the songs.
Now, we started off with the title track from the new album, That Is Less Is More. My sense is that this is a song that very much speaks to the road. Is that right?
For sure. It's really about trying to write songs and doing kind of what, you know, a lot of musicians are doing. You know, trying to do a combination of, you know, being a touring artist and a songwriter, and also being creative and also working. I wrote that song in Holland, and I had slept in the same bed as Townes Van Zandt on his last tour of Europe, as well as Mary Gauthier on her first tour of Europe. My hosts that presented the concert with me, you know, told me that tonight you're sleeping in the same bed as Townes and Mary. And I thought, wow, that's that's an interesting tidbit. And then so when I woke up, I kind of felt like, wow, I kind of felt like I had slept with Townes and Mary, and thought, you know, I should write a song. And was thinking about the two of them and, you know, many other people as well, which really influenced that song.
Now, this is an interesting album because I mentioned in the preamble that there's lots of stories in here. You know, you have a reputation as a storyteller, as a lyricist, but also you like to weave in the personal. This album is very much a mix of the two there. There are lots of stories, but also quite a personal slant to it. And I want to tie that to the fact that you do tour a lot. And I just wonder how that impacts your home life back home in the Yukon.
Well, I have a very supportive situation, a very supportive team at home that allow me to do this. It's amazing. They're right behind me and they're great. And as my kids get a little older, I have two boys, so I've realized, you know, I need to, especially in the last two or three years, I've really wanted to sort of dial back the amount of time I've been away on the road and leave for shorter stints and do more, you know, shorter frequent tours as opposed to just long drawn out, you know, 4 months straight kind of tours. Just because I find my sons are sort of an age where, being a father or male in their life is a pretty important time, you know, between the ages of 8 and 12. It's not that it's not always an important time, but especially now.
It's interesting you say that, because we're not going to have a chance to talk about every song, and we certainly can't play every song on this album today, or, you know, we will obviously on future shows, as we've done already since we received the album, play songs from it. But it's interesting to talk about some of the songs and, you know, even as a little bit of a teaser for people listening later. And the song that I want to talk about is one that we can't play today, but it's the Deadbeat Dad song, which is fairly clear in what it says. And I'm curious because, you know, there is clearly some personal aspects to this album. I'm just curious as to whether you have experienced people like that in your own life, you know, that perhaps weren't being
sure.
As supportive.
I have. Well, that song is essentially about my life. The whole song is, in a sense, you know, growing up in a modern family. I also am part of a modern family now, co-parenting with other parents. You know, there's so many people that have modern families and so many people that are, you know, work really hard to make that work. And then also some people that aren't really present. And are unable to make that work or find it difficult. And I just thought, I woke up on Father's Day and wrote that song, and my father wasn't very present in my life. And I thought about the people in my life that are making my modern family work and what it takes to do that. And that song is my attempt to sort of shed some light and encourage, there's all kinds of sides of things, and it's not really about the adults, about the kids. So that song is pretty much about that. You know, my son was telling me what a great dad I was on Father's Day, and I said, you know, I felt like I had to set him straight and let him know that it really had more to do with his mother helping to facilitate that, you know, because she carries the majority of the workload. And I thought after I had, explained to him, this is great that you think, you feel this way, and but your mom really is a big reason why, she's really encouraging of me, of my relationship with my kids and what I'm doing and who I am, and she's deserves all the credit for it, So I thought, and then I started thinking about my own father, who I don't, obviously don't call on Father's Day, which is different for some people. And that's my situation. So I wrote that song right away after actually halfway through that day.
Well, I appreciate you being so honest and sharing that story with us. The song that we are going to play today, because I mentioned we can only play so many songs, is, I think, a song that is also deeply moving in a very personal way, but for completely different reasons. And that's the song that you wrote around what happened at the Boston Marathon last year with the bombs that went off. And a very personal impact that occurred for you, because I think your partner was actually running in the race that day. Can you talk about that?
You know, I was at the finish line, four blocks from the finish line, and I saw them both bombs go off in front of me. And I hadn't watched a marathon before, so I thought it was a celebration, like end of the marathon, way to go, and let's shoot off some cannon. So I was really naive. I didn't know what it was. Nobody really knew what it was. And my partner had ran the race with food poisoning and ran it slower than usual and told me, if I run it really slow because I'm sick, I will finish around the four-hour mark. And I went to the finish line and around the four-hour mark when the bombs went off. So I didn't know when they went off. I didn't know if she was still running or if she had finished or if she was hurt. So I couldn't get a hold of her. And then she found a cell phone and called me and had finished the race 9 minutes before they went off. So I was pretty grateful, that unlike some other situations that, 9 minutes is not a long time. And after I left Boston, I started thinking about that, 9 minutes could have changed a lot of things in my life and how other people's lives were affected, and started thinking about those kids that were, responsible for the bombing. I thought, these people have parents and, siblings and family, and started thinking about them, and it's sort of a reflection of all the things I thought about after that experience, and that obviously people think about when they have those experiences.
It's a great song. I'd love to play that now. This is Gordy Tentrees from the new album Less Is More. It's out now on Buckaroo Records, and this is Somebody's Child. And you're listening to Folk Roots Radio, and I'm Jan Hall.
Chunk of green smoke, and I knew I was there. Out on Clyde Lane, there's a poet's lair. Stuck on lost words or a melody line. Trying to sell out your town, you better catch 'em in time. Trying to sell out your town, you better catch 'em in time. Oh, catch 'em in time. Longest bridge that I've ever known. Deep on an island, black hearts roam. Raising kids can be a heavy load. Try trading everything for a life on the road. Try trading everything for a life on the road. Oh, life on the road. Thank you. Once had a girl, once had me. Woke in the morning talking family. Hold every moment for as long as you breathe. Never let your dream die, just set it free. Never let your dream die, just set it free. Oh, set it free. Be cruel and kind. Somebody's child blew up a finish line. Thought I lost my everything, including my mind. Thank God for mercy, you gotta catch it in time. Thank God for mercy, you gotta catch it in time. Oh, catch it in time.
That's Gordy Tentrees with Somebody's Child from his new album, Less Is More. Gordy is our special guest on Folk Roots Radio today. We're chatting about his new album. He's on tour in Alberta just now. And Gordy, you mentioned earlier in the interview that you're trying to balance the time you spend on the road with the time you're at home. It must become quite a challenge when you play in Europe, because I know that you mentioned you'd played in Holland and you have quite a fan base over there. That must make it a little more challenging.
For sure, it does. You know, when you go over there, I live in the Yukon, so it's not like I live in Halifax or Toronto and I can just zip over to Amsterdam for a week, you know, or 2 weeks. And it's very costly, so I tend to try to take advantage of being over there. I'm trying to tour as opposed to 3 month tour of Europe, which I just did one, you know, two years ago. Just go for a month. I'm going back there for the month of November, and that'll be the eighth time, which is, you know, and I figured, okay, well, once a year for sure, and less than a month if I can do that, and sort of people can expect me to come back over there, and that's what I'm going to do. I just came back from a tour of Australia. I just did 21 days, 3 weeks in Australia, and I played every night, 20 concerts, and then zipped back to Canada, and that felt really great. It was really nice. Well, I have for a while now started booking tours 2 years out so that, you know, just to organize my personal life so that I can be home more, and that, you know, I can sort of organize the music end of it as well in a way that's really relaxed, you know, so I know in 2 years I'll be wherever I'm going to be, and lots of time to prepare for it and organize it.
Now, the album Less Is More, the core band was, I think, yourself. I think you're on dobro, guitar, harmonica. Porchboard bass. What is exactly a porchboard bass?
Oh, that's just a thing I use for my foot, kind of like a stompbox. Oh. It's not really on the album. It's more for my live show. So we have drums on the album. All the musicians are based in the Yukon. They're either musicians that have been on the road with me for the last 2 years, especially the fiddle, guitar player, and bass player. And then my producer, Bob Hamilton, he's responsible for some of the atmospheric sounds. And so all the musicians are northern musicians except for one, my buddy from the Brendel Bain PEI, Catherine McClellan. She sings on three songs. So that was a real treat to have her lend her voice to that.
Now, when you are on tour, do you play with a band, or is that very much a singer-songwriter show?
No, I'd say it's about half and half. You know, I have been touring a lot solo in the last 2 years, and I wouldn't have felt comfortable doing that in the past, but I've worked myself up where I feel comfortable doing solo shows now. I feel like I can hold an audience for 2 hours, and it comes across well. But mainly I like to tour with at least one or two other people. Right now I'm touring with one other musician, Winnipegger from a band called the D-Rangers that used to be touring lots, and Jackson Haldane, and so he's playing with me. He's playing banjo and mandolin and fiddle saw, as well as a couple cigar box slide guitars. So he opens the show solo, and then he joins me, you know, for the rest of the concert. And it's been really fun because he's a great harmony singer and obviously a really talented musician, and we're quite close friends, so it's made for a great live show.
You mentioned Catherine McLellan. She's obviously had a very successful year so far with respect to her album, The Raven, which came out, and she, I think, won a Juno for that. Can you talk about how you got to know her and why you wanted her to sing harmony vocals with you on this album?
I met her at the Newfoundland Labrador Folk Festival a number of years ago, and I was kept in touch and have managed to, whenever I hit the East Coast, catch up with her in person, and often I stay with her when I head to Prince Edward Island. And she's an amazing person, for those that don't know who she is, never mind a very talented singer-songwriter. She's just an incredible person. There's not many people like Catherine anywhere. And so when I was making this record, I thought, whose voice would sound great on these songs? She immediately came to mind, and I thought, I don't know if she even sings harmony on other people's albums, and so I'll just ask her. And I think she was happy to be asked, and maybe doesn't get asked often, I'm not sure, but she did a great job, and I thought maybe one song. I didn't really expect three songs, so it was a real treat, and I'm kind of glad I got her before she, you know, when, as you know, became famous now, because it probably, you know, cost a lot of money to have her sing on the record. But it's really neat for me to have your friends playing your records. You know, it's a special feeling, and I'm really glad she's a part of those songs.
We're going to have a play on the final song we're going to play from the album today. But before we get there, you're on tour in Western Canada. Can you tell us when we'll be able to see you in the East?
I'm not sure yet. You know, it's funny. All of a sudden, I don't know when I'm going to be in Ontario. I thought I might be out there in August, this August. But that doesn't seem to be the coming to fruition. So I think, you know, I have got some pretty heavy tours planned for the West Coast again in the fall, as well as the States and Europe, and a big tour of the UK after Christmas, and back to Australia next April, and you know, before you know it, it's going to be June again. So I'll keep you posted on that. And I'm originally from Ontario, so I always find reasons to come back there, and I'm sure the folks out there will be seeing me soon.
Obviously, the next year or so will be taken up with promoting this album, but I always like to ask the question, what the future will bring. We've talked about the fact that, you know, you like to write a bit of poetry, you're interested in writing things down that you might use for songs later. Any possibility that you will perhaps write a book later?
I don't know about that. That's a pretty big endeavor. I have a hard enough time writing songs, I think. Right now, you know, I'm still on the high sort of creative from writing songs for this last record. I wrote an awful lot of songs for this last record, more than I usually do. And I really like the fact that I had a lot more to choose from to put on this record. I've never really had this amount of songs before to throw on a record, and so I'm really inspired to right now and in the future, the next year, is to just keep writing, like showing up for work, showing up to do it every day, and putting some more concerted time into it, as well as, you know, growing as a musician. There's lots of stuff I have to learn still, and I'm looking forward to learning. So it's going to be fun.
I had a great conversation with someone last week who said to me that whenever they make an album, they love making the album, they love getting it ready, but because of the delay that occurs between, you know, being in the studio, working on the songs, finalizing the track listing, producing the album, sending it off for mastering, getting the packaging ready, you know, sorting out your publicist and everything, which I have to say you've done wonderfully in this situation. But then by the time they get to the point where the album's done, they kind of feel like they're all ready to move on to something else. I sense that's not you. You're probably really looking forward to the opportunity to play these songs for people. Is that right?
Yeah, I really like these songs. And when I made this album for me was kind of either make an album you really, really love and that you want other people to keep in their record player for a long time, or don't make one at all. So I had that in that was the goal for me. I'm like, make the album. To me, this is my favorite album that I've ever made. And I wanted to write songs that I was going to play every night for the next 10 years. And I think I feel that way when I've been playing them every night, all the songs, every single song on the album. I just love them all. I'm playing them all, performing them all. And I look forward to that was my goal, and I feel like I really reached it, and I hope to do it again.
Well, look, it's been great to talk to you today. We're going to finish with Love and Ink, which is a song that you wrote with Oliver Greer, who I gather is a childhood friend. Is that right?
Yeah, he's a friend of mine from Ontario that went to school for journalism, and he's also he writes short stories and poems, and he was telling me how over the years we've been talking about songwriting, and he was telling me how, you know, I wish I could write a song, and I was telling him how I wish I could as well. And so we decided to put a song together to, you know, I was leaving, I had a visit with him, and I was leaving my visit, and he was telling me a story about inheriting his father's farm, and fourth generation farm, and wasn't quite sure what to do with it, because he now lives in the city, and wasn't, his wife wasn't, he wasn't thinking at all about owning a farm, but felt compelled to keep it. Because it was been his family forever, and I said, well, you know, this sounds like a song we should take a crack at. So the two of us wrote it together, which was really fun, and it's really fun to write a song, I find, with someone that's never written a song before, because they're so uninhibited, they just, you know, go for it, and there's no real sense of a formula or rules, and I've been having a lot of fun doing that, and so Oliver and I had a great time writing the song.
Is the Rocket Richard, is that it? He's in there too?
It's the Rocket for sure. Rocket, not Henri, but the Rocket Richard, and not the Pocket, but the Rocket. And his family, Oliver's family, every generation listened to the Montreal Canadiens. And so I'm sort of dating the time frame of the whole song. I was trying to think of something that would tie all these generations, from his grandfather to his father to him. All these males in his house that have watched the Montreal Canadiens are family members. And, you know, everything from, you know, when the Rocket was just a, you know, a kid to, you know, the end of his death, and just references to each time period.
Well, it's certainly a great song. Let's finish with that today. This is Gordy Tentrees with Love and Ink from the new album, Less Is More. Remember, it is out now on Buckaroo Records. Gordy, if they people want to learn more about you and perhaps keep up to date with the shows that you have planned, how can they do that?
Just go to 10trees.ca. It's not 9 trees, but 10 trees, just like it sounds. And you can download the new album, and you can order it in Canada as well. And it comes out worldwide on May 26th on Continental Records.
That's great. Gordy Tentrees with Love in Ink from the new album, Less Is More. Gordy, it's been a great pleasure talking to you today.
Well, thanks so much for having me. I love your show.
Gordy Tentrees on Folk Roots Radio. I'm Jan Hall with Love Is Ink.
In the summer of 36, the Rocket was a boy jet. 300 acres, two brothers built their homestead. Raising kids, digging dirt, pushing stone. Broke their land, horse, and home. Days were mean, food thin, never gave in. Dreams in a shack, garden in the back. The fiddle sang, the family grew. Gone are the days and nothing left to lose. Still on the deed at the county bank. His brother left his love and ink. You pay it forward and you pass it on. Father's love for a son. On a rolling hill he asked for half of it. Without a sign from above, sold for $1 plus love. Plus love. Swapped the battery from the car to the radio. Felt Marciano, heard the Rocket score 50 goals. Cut down his own wood, fixed the tractor choke. Took care of his folks, everybody was broke. Sold a piece of land hard on any man. Kept his chin up, running out of luck. His heart gave in, he never looked back. When I hit the driveway, I think of my dad. Still on the deed at the county bank. His brother left his love and ink. You pay it forward and you pass it on, a father's love for a son. On a rolling hill he asked for half of it, without a sign from above, sold for $1 plus love. Plus love. I saw the old man cry the day the rocket died. Now they're talking Gordie Howe on the other side. When I walk through the trees down to the creek, in the wind and water I can hear them speak. Now I'm down in the city on a factory floor. Can't keep a farm by farming no more. Just paying the bills with a boy of my own, saving dimes till we can all go home. Still on the deed at the county bank, his brother left his love in ink. You pay it forward and you pass it on, father's love for a son. On a rolling hill he asked for half of it, without a sign from above, sold for $1 plus love. Without a sign from above, sold for $1 plus love. Plus love.